Welcome, everybody, to PlayStation 5, a central podcast where you get all the news, the reviews, and the
Danga rumors
on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined by the gallivanting man, the bouncy boy, Jordan. The bouncy boy, it's stuck. 2 weeks running. How are you feeling?
I like it. It's good. Yeah, you know what? I take all the nicknames I can get. They're not bad at this stage, so I take it. I gave it to myself. So what can I do?
Oh, man, that's brilliant. And I am Dan the Man. That's my one nickname. Really inspired.
Dan Allen Gaming. Dan John Allen. Dan John Allen.
It's always my name.
One Allen, one eye. Yeah. Remember how many different accounts you'd make? And you'd be like, oh, my God. Dan, stop it. You could Dan. What did you
Dan John Allen, D. Allen.
What did your brother? Then just Dan Allen, but then like four different variations of Dan Allen.
Dan Allen Gaming.
What did Brad say that time you kept turning the internet off him? Dan, you can't keep doing this.
How did you hear that? Because we were
playing COD or something. And we must have been playing COD or Rocket League. And you had some special cable where you could just like direct all the internet in the house into your PlayStation. And you were like, I think he's asleep.
What an asshole.
I'll put the cable in now. And then 3 seconds later, Dan, you've got to stop doing this. And he wasn't angry. He was very disappointed, however. He was so, and you're like, no, Brad, it's okay. You can have all the chocolate.
Oh, that's brilliant. Anyway. And he's been good lately. He's been good, Brad.
Yeah, we like
all right.
Brad.
We should get him on the show one day.
We should. We can have massive wrestling, like, divergence.
Oh, I know. If we get you, me, Brad, and Jackson just to talk wrestling, that could go for 3 hours.
That could be great. Yeah.
All right. Let's start with you, Jordan, and I'll go into Starfield. So you have continued playing Sea of Stars.
This game's just something special. As I said, I'm only 5 hours in, but there's a nostalgia that I'm feeling for this that I don't know where it's coming from, because I didn't actually play too many RPGs from the era that this is emulating or homaging, if that makes sense. The only thing I can really compare it to is Pokemon, and it is quite similar to Pokemon in terms of the battles, in terms of the way that you move around the world. It's quite similar in the same way that it's similar to the early Final Fantasies and stuff. But it's just got something special. The art style is fantastic. The music is really good because it, again, is sort of homaging this style of music that was there in those early PS1, you know, Nintendo-era RPGs.
Yeah.
And it's just got this charm with these characters that you are playing as one of the Solstice twins, which you can choose whether you play as the boy or the girl. And you sort of start to pick up some party members on the way. And you know, when you can see that all the elements that are there and you can just tell that it's going to be something special as everything gets fleshed out more and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. it's just really good. And the combat is so simple and yet...
But it works.
It's complex at the same time because enemies will have, what's called a lock on them, and it'll say, like, in 3 turns, they're going to do a special move. If you want to break that special move, you have to hit them with this attack twice and this attack once. So then when it comes to you attacking with your party of three, you have to choose what order to do it in, because there's always a way to break the lock with the characters you've got, but you've got to like be strategic in the way you do it. Like one character might need to attack twice. They can't attack a second time until the other two characters have attacked, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you might need to use another character's move or a combo move that will use them attacking as well. So it's like there's a bit of finagling.
Are you picking up attacks along the way?
So it looks like you will. So when I mentioned that it was sort of imitating in the most positive sense of the word Pokemon, it's that you have at the moment, like my characters have 2 magic moves and 2 physical attack moves. And from what I can see, it looks like you're going to learn moves as you grow. Because then whenever you go up a level, it then asks you, all right, this person, what do you want to upgrade for them? Like, what do you want to level up? Do you want to level up? It gives you 4 options, like their HP, their magic defense, their physical attack, and their give them a mana point or magic point. Do you want to do that? And then ask you for the next character and the next character. So all your characters level up at the same time. There's no separate leveling system for each character.
You remember Pokemon where you'd throw your weaklings in front to give them a boost.
Then swap it. Then they overdid it.
What's Bulbasaur's evolution?
Venusaur.
I bring him out to finish off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they sort of overcompensated that with that in the latest ones where experience share is always on. I think you can turn it off, but then everything levels up too quickly. So, yeah, that's by the by. So there's like that sort of thing. You will pick up moves as you go. That would be the assumption.
And it's a prequel to The Messenger, their universe.
I didn't know it was a prequel. The fact that it's a prequel is interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that though.
And I didn't know it was on Kickstarter too. They raised like $1 million plus.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So I remember seeing this game and I don't know whether it's because there's a few comic series that are like, there's like one that's called Sea of Stars. There's another one that's called Starhenge. There's a few things like that. And I just thought that this was like either somehow related to that when this was coming out, or I just saw the name and then saw that it was coming to PS Plus and just sort of wrote it off immediately. And I'm so glad that I paid attention to reviews. I'm so glad that I've given it the chance now because I really want to keep playing this. I'm actually going to play this after we finish recording. I'm staying up to watch the Basketball World Cup and I'm going to continue my remote play experiment.
Cool.
Tonight.
I see you've, by the way, just this ties in. I saw you were still doing the little remote play thing that you did last week. Is that still working all right?
Yep, still working all right. I did have a little bit of lag when I played on the weekend and I was playing Sea of Stars, a tiny, tiny little bit of lag, but it passed, and this was on a Saturday, so I don't know whether like there was like traffic
or whatever. Yeah, it could be that.
Yeah, I don't know whether that had anything to do with it, but it was only for a few seconds and then it passed and I was able to play again on my iPad flawlessly with
only a few seconds, that's all right. Could be anything.
Yeah. And for a game like this, like I'm picking and choosing what games I'm playing. Like I'm not going to play Rocket League on remote play and I'm not going to play Warzone on remote play. I am picking and choosing.
This team, 16 people, main people worked on the game from Quebec City, Canada, and they raised millions of dollars. And they obviously got some support from PlayStation and Xbox because it was a day one on both the services as well. And I did hear that I think we touched on this last week, they crossed $1 million, right? So it seems to be a big success for a small studio like this. And they've obviously got a lot of talent. And so the more money you give these guys, the more they can do with it and create something even more magical. The amount of tens they got for this, and it wouldn't have been a big budget, is really incredible. No,
definitely not. And I definitely think the way they've handled it in terms of going to a PlayStation Plus for free and going to a Microsoft thing for free, it comes back to that, was it Abe's Odyssey or whatever that Oddworld game was, where like that heaps of people downloaded that, but then is it Lorne Lanning, who's the director for that, or the owner of that or whatever?
He
was like, oh, well, we shouldn't have gone to PS Plus because look at all the copies we would have sold. And that's not necessarily true because think how many people are playing this now, like me, who are playing this now and are spreading the good word about it because it's free on PS Plus. It's a part of a subscription we already pay for. And as we always say, the PS Plus works for games exactly like this. God of War doesn't need to be on that because it is going to sell. It is going to get exposure. It's the same way that like Uncharted, The Last of Us, Spider-Man doesn't need to be on these subscription services because they will sell regardless. But games like Sea of Stars, this is where they benefit because now, whether they do DLC later down the track, there's a wider audience that's going to be interested in coming back to play that DLC, or when it comes to maybe doing a Sea of Stars 2, when it comes to doing another project, it can be marketed as, hey, remember that really cute indie game emulated all these famous PS1 RPGs? Well, they're doing the studio who made that, they're doing another game now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's only onwards and upwards here for what's the name of the studio again?
Sabotage.
For Sabotage, yeah. Yeah. Cool, very, very positive.
That's great. Let us know anyone else playing that on social media if you're playing Sea of Stars, if you're joining. Yeah. Jordan.
And let us know what your journey was to get there to play it. Were you always going to play it? Are you only playing it now because it's free?
I know there was a few guys playing Death Stranding because Vic had jumped on it recently.
Yep.
And they were loving it and had a few on Hogwarts, had a few on Resi. So there was a mix of people. I remember we asked them a few weeks ago, what are you guys playing? We just had such a mix. response. And that's the kind of year it's been. Now, I've been playing a game, little game called Starfield, which isn't on PS5.
I was very interested to find out all about this, and I'm super interested to find out your perspective. So we haven't talked about it at all. All I know is that I've asked if you wanted to play Rocket League during the week, and you said all you did was send me Starfield GIFs. So I'm like, well, that must bode positive, but it could, I don't know whether you're doing, as I'm saying, I don't know if you're doing it for content, whether you actually like playing it. Like, tell me.
I'm doing content, mate. I've been in this room. Yeah. There's a lot to cover, man. How long have you got? It's a massive game. We'll just go through some of the main hitting points. But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Yeah. I was going to say, is this what we expect from a Bethesda game? Like at its core, is this just a Bethesda game where there's some jank, there's some glitches, some bugs, but there's a very fleshed out world that doesn't have an amazing combat system, but has exploration that rewards you and that sort of thing?
It's exactly that. The one thing they get right is the immersion. Every time you're dropped into one of their worlds, you feel that world. You can smell it. You can breathe it. It's the same for this. Same as it was for Fallout. But, you know, the issues come, and not for bugs. There's not too many bugs and glitches in this one. It's more that it feels like an older game than what it should be, if that makes any sense. Like, it feels like a game from 2015, an amazing game. But then they also do things that are kind of progressing the medium forward. But then there's also things that are, oh, you're doing this just fine. Like, it's a mixed bag. And it's because they're doing so many things or trying to do so many things that some will fall flat. For example, like the AI, I believe, are quite not great in many respects. Or some of the details, like if you just hold a gun up to a civilian, they won't react. Little things like that, that most games, if you hold a gun up to a civilian, the civilian will run away. Like, what are you doing? But in this game, that's something that they've missed. Like, little things they'll miss, but also in, you know, someone like you, Jordan, you won't give a shit about that, basically, right? That's not something you even try, right?
No, because, yeah, I'm never doing the bad guy stuff in games like this.
No, but then you've got stuff like this in this game where you know, I did point a gun at a civilian and then I got locked in jail and all of a sudden I'm doing a 10-hour quest with the pirates. Incredible quest, like taking me off to different planets and this and that. And, you know, I wouldn't have seen that if I didn't go to jail. Obviously, there's other ways to get to that faction anyway. But another thing is the loading screens are really quite bad. There's a lot of loading screens. And that's something that, you know, because we're playing PS5 so much and the SSD and there's something coming off something like Spider-Man with just no loading. Of course, they're completely different games, but
yeah,
even a game like Cyberpunk didn't have that many loading screens compared to this game. So that's another thing. And again, it's because they're really trying to push it. There's a lot of content in this game and a lot of paths. And so I can understand why there is loading, but you'd hope in their next project that that's something that they could iron out, just because there is a lot of menus and loading screens. And I don't mind it, but it is a negative in a lot of people's eye. We can go down the list, Jordan. The actual story and the content is incredible. There's so much. Like, you can, you know, I feel like I said this about Baldur's Gate last week, but it's literally so replayable, like hundreds of hours worth of stuff here. Mm-hmm. Many different ways you can play it. Like, you could be a pirate who's just completely nasty. You could be the good guy who I'm trying not to always be the good guy in these games now. I feel like I'm just always the good guy that says everything right.
Same experience, yeah.
Well, I want to try different things out at least. Or, you know, I'll for Diablo, I went for the rogue. I'd never go for the rogue. You know, I'm trying to go out of my way. Like in this game, I'm not quite all the way good. I'll sometimes blur the line, you know, sort of a rebel, but a good guy at heart. Yeah. You know, you've got all these factions you can join, and they say 1,000 planets. I've been to like 100 planets. They're all different. Some really cool planets.
So
we probably
should touch on something then that we know was one of Vike's big concerns. When you're on these planets, have you gone exploring just for exploring sake at this stage?
I have, and you don't find much besides like outposts and abandoned camps and things. But then occasionally, you know, I picked up a book and the book led me to Earth. there was a landmark that took me to Earth, and it was the Statue of Liberty, but it's kind of broken. So I flew all the way there and collected a globe, and it was just, there was nothing to it, but it was a cool little landmark on Earth that, and then again, it happened in the moon. I went to the moon and there was a USA flag. So little things like that, exploring like that, but it just general exploring, there's actually, what it'll do is there's sort of a smoke and mirrors in this game a lot. So when you decide to pick a part of the planet you're going to land on, it'll generate a world, a sort of structure. And then if you keep walking, it's not like you're going to walk around the planet. You'll hit a barrier and then you'll have to get out and pick another spot. You know what I mean? So you can't exactly walk around a planet like that. I'm talking about some of the main city hubs. Like there's a neon city, which you could spend like 30 hours in. It's basically Night City from Cyberpunk, you know, that neon sort of Blade Runner vibe, which I love. It's a real dirty, there's drugs, there's illegal stuff going on everywhere, and you just get warped into this world. There's this like nightclub, there's missions running out of there, all sorts of things. It's kind of that grimy, and I love that sort of shit. So I've been in there for hours and hours, and then you've also got the, you know, Mars, and it's just, there's so much to explore. It's really hitting that itch of what Elden Ring did, of what's going to be on the next planet, you know, what's going to be in this next area. And so in that sense, it's great. Character-wise, coming off Baldur's Gate, again, I'm going to compare it to that because it's the last game. Like
you
got to,
sometimes you got to.
The performances aren't what they are in Baldur's Gate, like the facial capture and the performances and the acting, it just isn't the same. There's a couple of great characters. Don't get me wrong, Starfield. Basically, the main sort of 10 are really great. But then when you get to the lower, it feels like they're line reading. It feels like.
Yeah. Can I be honest, though, just to interject a little bit? The only real Bethesda game like this, so in terms of Todd Howard games we should be talking about, that I've played is Fallout 4. I never felt like, and I know that Fallout 4 is a bit of a different one because it's not a critical darling like Fallout 3 or Skyrim is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I never felt like the performances in that game were that amazing either.
No, they weren't.
Like, if I think about who was the dude who's always like, hey, go to the next outpost who needs your help.
Yeah, like, no, they've never been known for that, have they? Let's be honest.
No, they've always it borders on deadpan the way that a lot of the lines were delivered, and I felt like that was the intention because it wasn't trying to be bombastic and cinematic.
No,
it was sort of just like it was sort of just like quest delivery with a bit of charisma, if that makes sense, and a bit of character, and that was it.
Yeah, and look, there's so many actors in this. I looked at the credits; it's like, I'm putting a video together. It's fucking, there's 300 actors. I'm not even going to be able to find them all. So, you know, eventually you're going to get some that aren't as good as others. I mean, it's just.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the nature of it, especially when you've got a budget and
But then again, like a game like Hogwarts Legacy, I never thought any of those people were bad actors. Whereas in this game, there is a few that I've gone, okay, that wasn't that great. Whereas a game like Hogwarts Legacy, they did a different approach. They had like, each actor did 30 voices kind of thing, and that worked for them. So it's just depends on what's going on. I mean, Baldur's Gate, as I said, they had 300 actors and they were all great. So it just depends. But anyway, the actual stories that can unfold are really great. The side quests, and I'm about halfway through the mainline quest, and it's pretty good so far. I'll report back once I'm done. I'm really taking in the world, and I don't want to beeline the main. I want to take my time with it.
Yeah, just golden path it. Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that. So I'm really going through the factions and that sort of thing. And when it comes to the base building, I haven't really delved into the base building, but I have been diving into the ship combat and the ship building, which is really amazing. The amount of stuff you can do there, building your ship. Highly recommend anyone playing it to really dive into that. And I'm not one that would usually do that because it looks complex. But if you just sit there for 10, 20 minutes and learn it, it's really worth it. And you can build your own ship and learn the parts. And I was smuggling illegal substances through the borders, Jordan.
You form, as you're prone to do in real life as well.
Yeah, the borders of what? Melbourne and New South Wales.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, this game, funnily enough, it reminded me a lot of Cyberpunk in some of the things. And I feel like there's a lot of similarities with that game. And I feel like people aren't coming down as harsh on this game as they did Cyberpunk, purely because this is just a more polished experience. Basically,
yeah, I think, having not played it, I think this is a far more complete and polished package than Cyberpunk was. Like, Cyberpunk was a mess. Let's not forget, it got delisted from the store.
Oh, I had 50 crashes. I've had one crash in this in 40 hours. Yeah. So.
Yeah, so I don't reckon that's like to like. A lot of the problem was Cyberpunk had been hyped up to be this perfect thing, where I don't know whether anyone's expected Starfield to be perfect, because it is coming from Bethesda and Todd Howard, and there always is that sort of feel that their games have.
But this is their most polished, man. It's really,
which is fantastic.
I reckon the last year they've just done bugs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they said that. I'm pretty sure
it must have been because it is really good.
It was like 6 months of polishing out stuff that they needed to get polished out, which is credit to them. Like, about time they understood they needed to do it. I think we can safely say that, like, this is a roaring success for Microsoft and Xbox. This is exactly what they needed. It's not the God of War that they needed, but it's going to be this will be a system seller now, I think.
At least they've got something they can point to and go, look at what we could do. Although, you know, that's not, they've bought that studio, but.
No, you know. I know. it's still something. It's whether they bought the feather or picked the feather themselves, it's still a feather in their cap nonetheless.
And what they're finding is, I think the game comes out today as a recording because I've been playing early access, but what they're finding is that the player base is staying the same. People are continuing to come back. It's not dropping.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of rising, which means people are coming back every day, every week to keep. And that's what it does to you. It sort of takes over you and you want to keep going back. And that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Mm. The vibe I got from reviews I read and listened to was that it was very much.
I haven't looked at reviews. What are they saying?
So if just the vibe I got was that it was very much, this is not a one size fits all. This type of person will like this and this type of person won't. It seemed like it depended on a lot of choices you made, how your enjoyment would be. Like, the way that you tackled it will affect your enjoyment, and whether you let some of the nitpicks that people have get in the way of your enjoyment as well. Whereas if you can get over some of them, and like, this is coming from someone who hasn't played it, so like, take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
It just seemed like if you can get over some of the jank and enjoy it for what it is, you will love it.
The thing is, you could, you know, after 10 hours, you've got like 50 quests that have got, you could go any route possible. Some of them take 10 hours, some of them take 30 minutes. And if you get overwhelmed, it can go, oh, I don't know what to do. But if you just try and pick a path, pick a faction or pick a certain, and just do that. And then that's how I'm doing it. I'm trying not to get overwhelmed because there is a lot to do. And if you keep going to different planets, you pick up more stuff. But I'm just sort of doing this faction stuff with the Crimson Fleet, they're called, and then I'll do a story mission and then I'll bit of exploring, and I'm just filling it out, really enjoying it. This is their most polished game they've ever done. Is it my favorite of their games? Who knows? We'll see once I'm all wrapped up. I'm a big Fallout 3 lover. I think that's their magnum opus.
Yeah, I think most people would agree.
When I played Skyrim and platinumed it, I was actually kind of pissed off at that game. And now I've come to respect it.
I remember you being really sick of it.
I got sick of it, but I've come to love and respect it at this point. But yeah, I'll keep playing. We'll talk about Starfield again. I don't want to go too long, but
traitor.
When you think about Starfield in 5 years from now, what they're going to do to what the mods are going to do, the upgrades they could do, DLCs, and you think of the potential, they were right, or Todd was right when he said, look, we know people play our games for 5, 10, 20 years. He's kind of right. Like, people will play this game for that
long. Look at the legs Skyrim had.
Yeah, this will have the same legs. I guarantee this will have the same legs as Skyrim. Kyle was playing Skyrim this year, and I'm sure 10 years from now people are playing it's for the first time, so.
I'm sure 20 years from now, Kyle will still be playing it because he's so bad at it.
He's a terrible, terrible gamer, isn't he? All right, there's a couple of news stories before we go. This is a shorter episode today, guys. Speaking of Cyberpunk, So they've outlined all the features coming with their new DLC, which is only a few weeks away. I'm really excited to get back into that world. After seeing the Neon City in Starfield, it's kind of reminded me of Night City. I kind of want to go back. The Phantom Liberty DLC comes with an update 2.0, so a very significant update when it goes from 1 to 2. I want to go through the list here, Jordan. Skill tree and perk redesigned. Not only new stuff added, but redesigned completely. Vehicle combat and car chases have been fixed. Combat AI improvements, new police system coming. UI design improvements, loot items and crafting, new radio stations, thank revamped God. Capacity system and cyberware. A new district has been added, so a new part of town called Dogtown. New characters, new story with the Phantom Liberty, new quests, vehicle missions, airdrops, endless dynamic events. Wonder what that'll be. I haven't looked into it too much. All new relic skill tree and abilities, hundreds of new items, level cap, vehicle, missile launch. So there's just heaps of stuff added on.
They used to have endless dynamic events, didn't they, at the start?
What does that even mean, an endless dynamic event? All the bugs,
they were endless and dynamic, weren't they?
They were endless. There are still a few bugs over there. But I tell you what, it's come a long way the last 3 years.
Yeah, good on them for sticking to it and like not just dropping it and coming back to it and doing all this stuff for it. Can you imagine if they just waited and released it in this state now?
Oh, yeah.
Whole different ball game. Whole different ball game. But they sort of had to be the sacrificial lamb so that so many other games got the message that, hey, stop releasing broken and actually stop yourself. If Cyberpunk hadn't come out in that state, we would have played, destroyed, and endlessly complained about Suicide Squad killed the Justice League by now.
So now there's a lot coming. I'm looking forward to. We'll have a review out on that in a few weeks' time. Here's an interesting one, Jordan, that I want to touch on. Well, it is very interesting that there's big rumors on a state of play or a showcase apparently this month. So it has to happen, right? Because they've got so much they're hiding. I mean, I remember you said, oh, they could be holding back because of the Activision deal. I thought, oh, maybe. I mean, I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility. And now that that's over, maybe now's the time, or maybe they're just waiting. You know, maybe the quality of some of their projects isn't where they want it to be, or who knows. But I was thinking, what's the next big PlayStation first-party title we're looking forward to after Spider-Man? And I guess the only one we know is Wolverine and Death Stranding, which I don't see them coming next year. Do you?
I could see Death Stranding coming next year.
Yeah.
If you think about how quick the turnaround was on Death Stranding one,
true. Yeah.
It was really quick. And if a lot of those, I know it's not exactly the same as just going like, oh, all the assets are there. Beautiful. Death Stranding 2 can be made so much easier because of that. I know it's not as simple as that, but there must be something they can carry over to Death Stranding 2.
Oh, well, they've got the everything.
From Death Stranding 1. There's got to be elements there. Yeah. You would assume they could do it in the same amount of time, and I wouldn't expect that unless Kojima, and he could be, is going for something completely different and completely
you know he's going to push it.
He will definitely try and push it. I'm just confused about what the game's actually going to be. But if I'm being honest, I had the same thought when the original
the credits rolled for the first one. Yeah. What did I just play? There was a baby in a jar and Norman Reedus. Who knows what happened?
No. Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, look.
I don't know.
I think you're right. It could come out next year easily. Probably.
Yeah, I think Death Stranding is more likely to come out next year. Wolverine is definitely 2025 at the earliest.
Earliest, yeah.
Like I would
if that came out next year, I'd be on the floor shocked. I'd be absolutely flabbergasted.
Coming out next year. It doesn't look like we're getting anything from Naughty Dog either. So
we don't. Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't know. Really, so they got to. Yeah, they have to.
Well, it really rests on those. In terms, we've got those multiplayer games like Concord and Helldivers and what's the heist? Money Break. What's it called?
Yeah, I know that. I've forgotten that name, but I know what you're talking about.
That heist shooter one.
We saw it in the last one. It was the first game they showed.
Yeah, what the hell is it called?
So, because they've also got rumors of the PS5 Pro or the PS5 Slim, and they've got they've got a lot to promote. Like, if they did another State of Play, they could do one final thing for Spider-Man. They could show off their new little, what's it called, the PS Portal. They've got other games in the pipeline they could show off. Like, they might even show off Avatar there or something, you know, third-party stuff, Tekken.
Oh, I keep forgetting Avatar's coming. How exciting.
Tekken's coming in January, Call of Duty. There's a lot they could flog, plus some new stuff. Like, where's the Ghost of Tsushima 2 announcement? It could happen at any moment, basically.
You would assume that we're going to get all these announcements at once. So an announcement of a Ghost 2 whatever Insomniac's thing is after Wolverine. Because let's not forget, we had Wolverine and Spider-Man announced not long after one another.
No.
Like, we've known about Wolverine and Spider-Man. Because we must have known about Wolverine for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, it's been a while.
At least. So there is that.
I've seen nothing.
Yeah, so I think we could see something from Insomniac. My thought would be a new... I'm 50-50 on Insomniac's next thing, whether it's another Marvel thing. And you know my theory about the Marvel thing, or whether it is a new IP. I can't see them going back to Ratchet anytime soon. I would say that that would probably be like their third in line.
Although it was a good game.
It was good. Yeah, it was good.
Good game.
I would assume that's like third in line in between a new IP and then your another Marvel project.
They've also got, Jordan, they've also got Metal Gear Solid, the remake that they could talk about. Dragon's Dogma.
Is that October?
No, that's the collection. I'm talking about the actual remake.
MGS3, Delta.
Yeah,
Delta.
Yeah. The remake. Yeah. So
that was
a
hype-ass trailer when that was released. Yeah, so I reckon there is something to the thought that now that the Activision thing's closed, they can go back to announcing stuff that they really want to announce and they've potentially been holding off on because they didn't want to be like anti-competitive and all that. Compromise their case.
It was weird. That whole thing was weird.
Very
we talked about this for weeks and weeks, and then they finally revealed it, and then it just fell really flat. It was just bizarre. I'd love to know what's going on.
Yeah, so I think next showcase they do, whether it's a State of Play or a showcase, they need to do one of two things. They need to either A, show us what's coming next in the single player space, because we've heard nonstop that they're committed to the single player space as well as this games as a service model and plan they're striving for. Or B, they need to make us care for these games as a service games that are coming, like Concord and Marathon. Marathon was one. What is the other one? It's like Money Heist or Daybreak.
Marathon's
or
a while away. It's Fair Game, it's called.
Fair Game. That's the one. Yeah. Make us care about those.
With a dollar sign. So maybe it's Fair Games.
Fair Games, yeah. Make us care about those. If you're not going to show us single player stuff, actually give us a reason. Don't just show us some edgy gameplay for it or edgy CGI trailers for it. Make us care and make us know that we need to play them.
Jordan, they got Helldivers coming out. I mean, they got to flog that as well.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Helldivers.
No, I'm not interested at all.
They'd have to work miracles to make me excited for that.
Their marketing team have to work overdrive to get me to play that. I'm really just not interested, sadly. Yeah. I know a lot of our listeners are. If you are interested in Helldivers, please tell me why.
Tell me why. Let us know. And not ain't saying that it's gonna suck.
Now, we've got some sad news, Jordan. The team behind Saints Row are no more.
Yeah.
Volition have closed. Vike was right. Hashtag Vike was right. He kept saying that they're going to have, you know, they're going to have to restructure or they're going to do something. He said Embracer. And he's right. They've done something. They've closed them. So it's really sad, but Saints Row was a complete disaster, so the writing was on the wall, and here we are.
Yep. If they had when you have the pedigree of more critically acclaimed studios, you can afford a blip. But when you're Volition, where like you've had some sellers and yeah, people have a bunch of nostalgia and like they were well received at the time for games like Red Faction and Saints Row, the earlier ones, that's fine. But yeah, you can't afford a blip like that Saints Row that came out last year. That was, I wouldn't call it a disaster. It just needed to be better and it wasn't.
What?
Last year's Saints Row.
Oh man, I don't know how they fumbled it so bad, to be honest.
I think it's such a missed opportunity.
All they had to do was just be a fun, wacky GTA kind of palate cleanser. Like they didn't have to do much, and somehow it was just such. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, they fumbled it so hard.
Who got involved, or who? It just felt like all these different ideas, and there was no clear direction where they wanted to go, and. Oh, I'll never forget when they showed it off and people were just like, oh no, everyone knew when they showed it off, this ain't it, you know? It's not like movies. I feel like we kind of know if a game's going to be good for the most part when you see some gameplay and footage, and it's hard to hide a bad game these days.
Yeah. And that was one that when it dropped, I think I was the one who was like, oh no, this could be all right. But you and Vike were both like, nah.
That's I'd love to go back in here, actually.
Yeah, I think you two were quite down on it. I was quite high on it. I was like, that could be fun. Yeah. And then it came around and I was like...
You're the one that never played it.
I never played it. No. But I don't really have nostalgia for it either, like you and Vike did. So...
No.
Yeah, you guys knew what to expect. And I saw it and was just like, oh, that could be fun. I played Get Out of Hell and thought it was fun.
Yep. It went crazy, that series. Sad. So Marvel Spider-Man 2, have a guess how big it's going to be, Jordan. Have you read the story yet?
Colossal. I haven't read the story, but I'm assuming it's going to be colossal.
Have a guess. How big do you think it's going to be? How many gigs?
Like 108 gig.
108 gig? It is 98 gig. You're close.
Close.
So that's pretty hefty.
How good's that picture of Venom, by the way, at the top of this story on PlayStationLifestyle.net? That is like one sick pic of Venom.
Venom really intrigues me in this game and the whole story behind that. Seeing as though the movies fumbled the football.
Yeah, I really think they're going to play with the idea that the symbiote's going to be jumping from character to character. Not like every mission, but that it won't be on the one character the whole time.
Yeah, hopefully... Do you see any major deaths happening?
No, I reckon it's too easy to just do that. I saw a talk during the week. Oh, yeah, so like Peter will die at the end of this. That's what we've seen that now.
We've seen
Spider-Verse do that.
Yeah.
It's not shocking. It's diminishing returns if you keep playing on that story. I think there's so many more interesting things you could do if you keep both of them alive.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting dynamic playing as the two, how that's going to work.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to come to a crescendo or a fight possibly at one point.
I would definitely assume so.
Yeah, maybe. Like, wouldn't it be cool if you played as one and versus the other or something like that? Have you thought of that gameplay wise?
What do you mean? You play as one versus, like, as in,
and fighting the other one in a boss fight sort of scenario? Yeah,
I think at some stage the symbiote will be involved. So the Venom symbiote will be involved because of it.
Probably play as Miles.
This is where you do read so much into it. So we've seen it on Peter, and it's like, what if Peter like learns to harness it, and then the symbiote goes, nah, don't want anything to do with you. And then at the end, takes Miles, and then because he's young and naive,
it can get a hold of him better. Yeah,
gets a hold of him better, and then so the final boss is you playing as Peter taking down Miles.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, but I assume we'll see it on Kraven. I assume we'll probably see it on the character that's brought it into the
universe. Were you hot on Kraven?
What do you mean?
Were you hot on Kraven? Are you intrigued to see his?
Yeah, I'm intrigued because I haven't read really anything about Kraven. So, but I know he's like one of Spider-Man's biggest foes. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. I will try and probably read
because the movie's coming out right
before it comes out
this year.
Don't watch that. Don't worry about
that. That's actually coming out this year, isn't it? The movie.
I think it's coming out this year. I wouldn't worry about watching that. If I'm being honest, I'd probably try and read like Kraven's Last Hunt or something instead.
I can't believe Oppenheimer is done so much business. It's nearly going to hit $1 billion. It's a rated biopic rated R biopic, no superhero, $1 billion. Mm. I mean, beating the Batman at the box office, beating all these Marvel films. Can you believe that? Unbelievable.
I know, it's very impressive. But you're also missing the fact that it has arguably the biggest director in the world,
at the moment
on it.
And you got some pretty good actors in there too. Yeah, you're right. Some
very, very good actors.
Now, what do you think of this, Jordan? Call of Duty are introducing a real-time AI voice chat moderation system to combat toxicity.
They do some interesting things, COD,
because they're always a bit controversial, but then they do stuff like this that's kind of pushing the medium forward, I like to say. But I mean, it kind of is. This isn't something I've heard of anyone doing. Imagine if this was around back in the day. Fuck me. There'd be a few people banned.
I definitely think this is why it's coming. So, like, I know when, like, back in the day when everyone played
anything COD, was allowed, basically.
It was anything goes. And the only thing you had to rely on was report player. And I never, ever saw anything come out of that whenever you reported a player or anything like that. And I know AI is a touchy subject at the moment, especially in the tech industry with all the jobs that are getting laid off and stuff. But is anyone really going to be looking through, or was anyone, or would anyone?
No, this is where AI succeeds.
This is where it should be implemented. Because I'm assuming it's a lot cheaper. I don't know that. I could be wrong. But if it's going to actually work in weeding out some of the disgusting stuff people probably say online, I don't really know anymore, because when I play online, I'm playing with friends. I'm not chatting with randos like
people don't say that racist shit, stuff like that anymore than like they did back in the day. I mean, they do, but the stuff that I encounter, it's just sort of basic, you know.
It's nonsense.
It's nonsense. It's like, I banged your mom, or... It's just complete nonsense. There's nothing too bad.
You do encounters and stuff that's worse than that, and that stuff needs to go. But I think, every now and then having the 12, he lose it at you because, you know, you killed him or whatever, that's fine. But it's when all the racist and sexist stuff comes into it, it's like that stuff needs to go. That doesn't belong.
Actually, there was a bit of that in Warzone at its peak.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the text chat, that's the sort of stuff
that needs to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there is this place. I'm not someone who goes like, oh, you know, let it go or whatever. I'm like, because I don't know. I don't think it should be a free, you know, landscape where you can just say all that sort of stuff.
I'm interested to know how it works and what they're going to do with it. Because
is it auto-moderated? Do you need to report a person for it and then the AI assesses it there? Like, what's the actual go? How long does it take? I'd love to know how it works.
I don't really use the voice chat. I mean, I did a couple of videos where I like sort of troll people, but I don't really use the chat. I kind of turned the basic chat off.
Yeah.
Like, same. I didn't even use the proximity chat that much to.
Nope. Neither.
In the new games. It doesn't really affect me. Maybe I'm getting too old for this shit, you know? Nah.
Doesn't affect me, but for the people it does affect, I'm glad that there seems to be a solution that's being worked on to try and address it.
Now, Sean Layden, you remember this name?
The most unceremonious exit for the face of a massive company you've ever seen in your life. It was a tweet or a post on the PlayStation blog, and then he was gone.
Poor guy. And then who was after him? Was there one after him and then we got...
Was it Jack Trenton and then him and then...
Jack Trenton, man. What a legend.
Big old Jackie T.
Yeah, he was a legend. Oh, he was a legend, right? I can't even remember.
Yeah, that. I like Jackie T. There's been so many of them. Sean Layden was the best. Sean Layden was...
They're probably all assholes.
E3. Oh, yeah, probably.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Oh, these CEOs, for the most part, are... So... He has said something that I thought, what do you think of this, Jordan? He said the likes of Google, Netflix, Amazon, big threats to the games industry. That was the quote. And I'm thinking, are they? In what way? Yeah. Because they're not really making an impact at this moment. Netflix are dipping their toes into games. They haven't done much of nothing of note, really. Amazon have tried their hand on a game that completely failed. I remember, I think it was called
like The Awakening or that RPG, that RPG, massive MMO RPG.
Didn't work out for them. Google, they went with Stadia. didn't work out. So
New World,
what's he seeing that I'm not? Because all these companies have tried their hand and nothing's really happening. I don't know what Apple's doing in the space. They haven't done much. Now, they're big conglomerates that have got an endless amount of money, but not easy to break in, especially, you know, in this industry where it's kind of very nostalgic in many respects.
Not easy. It's not easy to break in if you are trying to build from scratch. As you said, they got endless amounts of money. I'd be looking to be worried if Ubisoft goes on the market and, you know, a Google or an Amazon or whoever is like, oh, we'll take you. And, you know, or something happened with EA and then someone goes, oh, we'll take you. The Amazon Luna was a thing that stunk. The Google Stadia, did that even last a year? And then that was done.
That was a disaster.
That was a disaster. Netflix isn't coming for the console market, I don't think. They are there for like the casual, like play games on your phone, on your Netflix app, play them on your TV. That's it. They're not going for the sort of market share that a console would go for. So he may be right in the general sense of games, but I don't think 10 years from now we're dropping our PlayStations to play the next third-person action adventure on our,
do you know? Yeah, no. Phone. I agree, but you know why I'm mentioning this is because he's a very smart man, Sean, because he said in 2020, I remember he said that AAA development was not sustainable. I'm pretty sure we covered it on this show. He's not sustainable because the game length is increasing, the price, and it's just not matching up. Like what players want versus how much it costs is not lining up. And we're kind of seeing that a little bit where the budgets are like 200 million and they've got to sell millions to get back. So he was kind of right in that sense. I'm thinking he's a smart man. He knows what he's talking about. He's been in the industry. So he thinks they're a big threat. Why does he think they're a big threat? Is the endless money? Is it the
money and influence?
Is it because PlayStation are a bit complacent, it feels like, lately? They're putting prices up. They're not doing much with the showcase. It feels like they're not trying in many respects, especially with the marketing side of it.
Yeah.
The games are still great, I guess, but.
You could definitely say that, though. This is why things like Game Pass and stuff just are not sustainable for long periods of time. Because how can you possibly... that money only goes so far. So it can't be that sustainable, even if you are a Microsoft and you have all this money.
I think it can work for if the games are old, not for new games.
Yeah, I just don't think it works for new games. Clearly they're seeing some success. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But they also wouldn't do it if they didn't lose as bad as they did in the Xbox One, PS4 generation.
Yeah.
Game Pass is the result of that horrific loss they had. They had to make up ground, and that's how they did it. And that's why they probably bought Bethesda as well, because they lost so much ground. And yeah.
It's like the Netflix model where they get the movies a year after they're in the theater. You know?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I can't see them rolling back that now, though. I cannot see them rolling back. Maybe the next system.
Well, yeah, if you roll that back, yeah, that's a big thing. You know, they did with Starfield the early access, and they got millions of people getting it early, and that cost money. So maybe that's what they're going to try now. Maybe you get it a few weeks early if you pay for it, or you can wait. Couple of weeks.
And people paid like $100 to play it early, didn't they?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible. I'm not judging.
I'm doing videos, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's true. It's not cheap. It was $150.
No, it's not cheap. Yeah.
For me. So yeah, it's an interesting one. But you know, this is a subject you can talk about for hours, especially if you get Vic involved. Fuck. He can go on for about 5 hours.
Well, he has the business mind for it, so.
All right. Well, that's it, Jordan. You're going to continue playing Sea of Stars.
Yeah, I'm going to continue
playing Starfield.
Yeah. Hey, look at
this. Both going to be seeing stars.
Hey. Look at us go. Yeah, I'm really excited to keep playing Sea of Stars. I'm looking forward to the weekend again so I can sit down and just absolutely smash it. I would love to try and finish it before Mortal Kombat. I don't think I will because I think it's like 30 hours Sea of Stars. So I can't imagine me finishing it before then.
I didn't know Mortal Kombat had an early access as well. So it comes out in early access on the 14th, which is literally 9 days away.
That is 9 days away.
Yeah. If you do the special edition.
So what day does it come out if you don't do the special?
The 19th.
Is that a Tuesday?
Is it a Tuesday for us? Yes.
Yeah.
Tuesday
actually works better for me.
The day, yeah. You'll be off, won't you?
I'll be off, yeah. But I've got, like, I'm staying in the city on the that first weekend of the holidays. So I wouldn't even be able to play it that weekend anyways. Oh, well. But then I'm like, I'm going to be behind, man. I'm going to be behind. Maybe I need to get the special.
And then you've got Lies of P a week later.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Lies of P comes out the same than the 19th. Day,
yeah. That'll have to wait, that one. I have to master my moves so I can finally beat Vike at Mortal Kombat. I don't think I've ever beaten Vike at a NetherRealm game, ever.
Oh, you're going to have to write that wrong. Please.
I think I managed to beat him in Injustice 2. I think that was one where I'd mastered Blue Beetle and I did manage to beat him.
I remember you beating him. I'm sure you beat him.
Yeah. I was very good at using Blue Beetle, but yeah. Did you ever platinum Injustice 2?
No, I never did. I never got that one trophy.
That Catwoman trophy. Doesn't it?
Never got it.
Dude, I wasted so much time doing that Catwoman trophy.
Do you regret it?
No, I don't regret it because I love that I have it. Between that and then the Division 2, where you had to craft a legendary weapon, but the easiest one to get was the one where you pick up the legendary D50 or you pick up the purple D50 and then you upgrade it, or it was upgrade a legendary weapon. It was something like that. And yeah, just running the same missions over and over again, try and get it.
Before we go off air, Jordan, there was something I wanted to ask you. Last one. I noticed that you never went back to a Plague Tale Requiem, the sequel.
Yep.
What stopped you from going back? Because I heard it was a good game, but there was obviously something missing for you.
So part of it was the original ran really well. And so the allure of that game, I wouldn't say the allure, but one of the sort of cool things it has is it has all those scenes with the rats and stuff that Hugo can control. And because I played the original, what was that, Plague Tale Innocence?
Yeah.
Because I played it so long after release, it had a PS5 version and it ran buttery smooth. Because I played Requiem at launch, it didn't have the same. Yeah, it was 30 frames. It didn't run amazingly. And it just wasn't, it didn't have the same thing. It just didn't have the same sort of grab that the original had. And I don't know whether I needed more of that story.
It is now 60 frames, by the way. They did a performance mode. They added a performance mode.
Yeah, maybe what I need, if I'm being honest, eventually it will come to PS Plus and I can pick it up again then and pick up where I left off and try and finish it. I sold it, yeah. I got rid of it. Yeah.
Damn, that's the toughest thing. You didn't even beat the game and sold it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It didn't grip you.
Yeah. No, it didn't grip me. And if I'm being honest, I've never, like, even now, I don't regret selling it because I'm not in a rush to finish it. I'm just like, maybe when it comes to PS Plus eventually, I'll download it then. I'll finish it. And yeah, it is a shame because I did really like the first one. I liked it enough to pick up the second one on launch.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
I know you also playing Cult of the Lamb at that time. That was a great game.
I'm looking forward to jumping back into Cult of the Lamb, actually, to get to play that new DLC. I know there's like a second DLC coming, so I think once that one drops, I want to jump back in. And
The listeners can't complain because we literally cover pretty much every game on this show.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't miss many. We did miss Armored Core. No one was interested. None of us were interested.
I'm just not interested. Nah.
We just weren't interested. So we don't really have anything to say about that. But besides that, we pretty much cover everything indie and AAA. But Armored Core just slipped through, I guess, because just didn't interest us. And there's just so much going on. And maybe one of us will pick it up at some point. But I've heard good things. But
it definitely seems like a Vike game. I can definitely see him getting into it at some stage. He'd probably come on and be like, man, I hate Mix. Won't even touch him. Don't even like my car. Nothing with moving parts I like.
All right, guys, it's been a pleasure to serve you. Make sure to follow us and leave a 5-star review on wherever you're listening. And take care. Happy gaming. See you next time. See you.
Later.